Did he move back to Germany? Because like that's the only thing you can do.
I know, right? Or somewhere in Scandinavia, whatever. Whoever makes the J is wise.
Just about everybody. Oh, he can move to Minnesota.
Oh yeah. He'd be famous there.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh yeah, ooh yeah. Oofta.
That's it. That's all the Minnesota isms I have.
Yeah. Oofta.
Over deer.
Lots of beer. That's all I
Lots of
know.
beer. Okay, yeah. Well, that's what you get for being a flyover state, Minnesota.
Yeah, we're at.
Welcome to AE
Oh, wait.
Double Back
Is it
for November
recording?
29th. It's been recording. Oh my
Oh.
God, we've been recording this entire time.
I
I'm
didn't know
leaving
that.
all of that in.
No, you're
All
not.
of
You
it.
can't. You just
Yes.
can't.
Yes.
This is my
You
passive aggressive way of addressing things. This is like putting it all on the
just
podcast and
put it all
hoping they
on
listen.
the podcast. Look, if any of you out there are having problems and are, if you're non-confrontational and can't face up to the person and tell them, like, ah, you're being a real shit, just make a podcast.
Start a podcast
Make
about
a podcast.
some obscure-ish sport or thing, and
Yep.
then just cross your fingers that the person you need to tell all these things to listens on the particular episode you happen to dish on.
I mean, here's the thing. You just drop little hints like, "Hey, have you listened to my podcast? I have a pod. Do you know what a podcast is?"
Have you listened
You
to the November 22nd, 1991 episode of my podcast?
All right,
Listen to it.
1991, you say.
Yeah.
You were podcasting back in 91, huh?
Sure, because I started it before there was any way to listen. I was in my bedroom. I
Just recording
said
it on
all the
tapes.
things out loud to myself. It was a great podcast.
Yeah. As you may have noticed, Calder is not with us. He is off on assignment. Florida? Is he in Florida?
Yeah, he's in
Minnesota?
Florida.
Is he in Basque country in Spain?
He's in Florida.
Okay.
He's finding the fountain of youth.
Oh yeah, Ponce de Leon, our own personal Ponce de Leon.
Yeah, he's gonna murder everybody in Florida to find it, but he'll find
that's how you do. That's how you do. I should have gotten a guest, totally forgot. So it's just the two of us. So I
Yeah.
apologize and
We're gonna,
yeah,
like,
we'll
Collar made everything funny, so we're gonna miss out on all the humor. So,
Yes, this will be an extraordinarily unfunny
this will
show.
be a dry toast episode. No butter or
Also,
jam.
no, wait, is Calder the butter and the jam in this podcast?
Yes.
What? And so, wait a minute, which one of us is the toast?
He's sweet and savory. Okay, I'm the bread, you're the heat. Or
I'm
unless you're the
the.
bread and I'm the heat. I'm not sure.
Okay, no. You're the bread, I'm the heat. That makes sense. I can
Okay.
get behind that. Also, if you have anything passive aggressive to say to Calder, now's the time to do it. Maybe he'll listen,
Because
maybe he
he
won't. You
can't
won't know.
say
Nope,
anything.
absolutely can't. We start off the night with Mox versus Jay Lethal. Come on now.
Brian
This
Danielson's on the announce desk.
oh yeah. And he sticks around for the Continental Classics and then goes away and then comes back again, which it seems like
It
a
is
little bit
interesting.
much, but
Yeah.
also, like, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy you want on commentary for this kind of thing.
No one's going to tell him no.
I love it. I love this whole Continental Classic idea. I'm super excited for every match.
It's weird to me, this point system, but whatever.
I
It's
mean,
just
it's.
another way to do a tournament, so.
Yeah, but really. Interesting because there's all these different permutations. Like everybody in that round is going to face every other person in that round
Yeah.
in their group, and that's really cool. And then you get to see all sorts of, I mean, we haven't seen any ties yet or that sort of thing, but there will there should be some sort of like time limit draws, and that'll be really fun.
And there's a lot of stuff that, like, I mean, it's, we're going to see matches we would never see otherwise, which I just absolutely love.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I'm a little tired of Mox right now.
Yeah.
I'm a little, I just, I'm like, it's just a bit much. The BCC, which, by the way, I listened to this one podcast where there's advertisements for a different podcast.
Uh-huh.
And that different podcast is BCC. And it trips me up every time when they say that, because I'm like, you guys have no idea. There are wrestling fans looking for a wrestling show, and they come across your dumbass thing. It's terrible, whatever it is. But
do you know who really gets that? The World Wildlife Fund.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, wait a minute. We existed before this wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't copyright anything because nobody did that. Nobody did that at the time. Actually, I don't know. It's like Apple Computers suing Apple Records. Yeah, Apple Records that like the Beatles
right.
recorded on or whatever.
Yeah.
And, it's
and now,
like,
the, now they make the – the
but it's like how pods. The fuck does Apple Computers sue Apple Records? Because Apple Computer probably at one point wanted to make Apple Records for their like Apple Music thing, you know? I don't know. I'm just trying to – it's just like how the fuck – when Apple Records existed first, number one. Number two, there could be Apple anything. You shouldn't be able to copyright Apple, the name.
I mean, I feel like Apple's probably sued – probably sued them both.
I think Wenatchee, Washington, mm-hmm. capital Great apples. Of apples in Washington State.
I'm saying it now.
Oh, you're making like up
apple,
a word.
Capital. There we are. Capital. I got it. Capital.
It's capital.
Yep.
The capital.
This is exactly the sort of thing that Calder would really spice up.
he would have nailed it the first time.
He is being missed.
He would actually have a better version of whatever joke we could possibly come up with. But anyway.
R.I.P. Calder Holbrook. It's such a shame.
Find the fountain of youth and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Be a billionaire in California. Anyhoodle. So, yeah. Go there and. Let's have Wenatchee, Washington sue the fuck out of Apple Computers. All right. So that was a side quest. And I think we got all the points on the side quest.
Man, we raced those chocobos to death. Peeled over.
The gold chocobo.
Anyway, this was a real good match.
It was a good match.
I get you being tired of Mox. I often sort of get in that place,
mm-hmm.
And then I watch him. I'm like, "Oh right."
I mean, yeah, it's not bad. It's not I'm just like, I. It's too predictable.
No.
And too samey. And because the BCC is on every single week, and you know, there's good reason for it. I'm just like tired of their shtick right now. I want them to take a vacation real quick.
Well, three of them are in this tournament, so yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
No. Anyways.
But yeah, wasn't Mox supposed to take a vacation and then couldn't? And then, like,
and
let
then,
him take a break, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Maybe he's like, oh, this is all overtime? Then fuck it.
I'm getting time and a half, baby. Let's Continental Classic this shit up.
You know? But anyway, so yeah, Mox wins and he gets 3 points.
3 points.
And they're not allowed to have any people. They're not allowed to have anybody ringside.
No interference.
But then it's interesting that, okay, we'll get to it later.
Okay.
No one is even up on the, you know, the ramp.
Oh, yeah, right.
But we'll get to that later.
The whole idea is, and Tony Khan predictably is being snarky about it. It's like, all right, you people, if you like, you say that you want these no interference matches. Well, I'll give them to you, and you better give me ratings, man. Which, I mean, God bless the man. He's sincere. He is sincerity personified.
I think it's funny that QT Marshall left AEW because he felt like it was too much like NJPW, like sports oriented as opposed right. to entertainment oriented.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're just mad that nobody liked QTV. You're just mad that you suck so hard.
It's I understand it, and like I'm sure he's a good trainer, and you know, like he's a good wrestler. But yeah, he just never clicked with me. And like, if he's got somewhere better to go,
dude,
God bless you, man, make that money.
Cody is like the golden child right now at WWE, so I'm sure he got him a great deal over there.
Speaking of that, let's take a brief moment to discuss what happened at Survivor Series.
Okay.
I know we don't watch WWE, but old Phil showed up there out of the blue, dude. Surprising everybody.
Because we thought that they had denied him a contract, which I was like, that's what happens when you're an asshole, dude. Like, you were like a king. And you could do whatever the fuck you wanted at AEW until you couldn't. And then, boom.
Yeah.
But now he's there.
He's there. And he's
And Triple H is all happy about it.
Because he's making money, you know? Yeah. Like, it's a weird business because one thing you can sort of say, one objective measure you can give to professional wrestling is like, as far as you as a wrestler. Are good if you put butts in seats, if you generate money, if you generate box office, that makes you a good wrestler. And however you do that, maybe, you know, you're a really good in-ring worker. Maybe, you know, you're great on the mic or whatever, you know, any combination of those things. If you generate money, then you are successful. But then like, is there art there or, can we just, and if you're truly a piece of shit, and here's the thing, I don't think he's a piece of shit. Okay, no, I think he's a piece of shit. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's just, he just needs to go to a lot of therapy.
Yeah, I think he seems really entitled to me. And just like incredulous when things are not the way he would want them to be. Which
but
is a bizarre way to look at the world. When
even when things are the way he wants them to be, he still finds ways to screw it up.
Or and just then, be dissatisfied with it.
Because he can make money, and he can go to the place that nobody thought he could go to. And that's a win right there for him. Mm. To just be able to say, like, hey, you said that I completely burned that bridge, but here I am, so clearly I'm better than that.
That's true. But, like, they did sign him apparently with, I mean, I don't know. I read this. I don't know if it's true. But with a clause where they could, cancel his contract at any time.
Sure.
They could fire him at any time.
You 100% have to do that. And I don't think he expected anything less. Yeah. But also, he's going to ask for a bunch of money up front so that, like, you know.
When it does happen.
Yeah. He'll still be able to walk away and be fine.
Still got his golden parachute.
Like, I believe he was already pretty much set for life before he even got to AEW.
He already made
his money and saved it and done well. So, you know, all of this is gravy.
Yeah.
And also, that's about as much as I care to go into it. Because, like, good for him.
Sure.
And
I
also,
can't wait to hear what happens. If anything, it provides some spice in the air. And you're just like, I smell something.
And honestly, even if you say you don't, and I say I don't, but we do love drama. And so, you know, for all they're going to be like, ugh, I can't stand all of this gossipy, blah, blah, blah. I buy into it too. So,
yeah, suddenly you're reading all the wrestling rags. So.
Yep.
Clearly, it has worked.
Yep.
Anyway. All right.
Anywho, thumbs up. That's a good match.
Yeah, good match, good match. We've got Eddie Kingston. He's upset that he lost, and I was trying to figure out, like, what was going on with this, because I was like, why is he so upset? Is it because he lost in the tournament? I thought it was a tournament loss, but no, it wasn't even a tournament loss because his first match is with Danielson next week.
No. He did.
He was hurt?
No. He lost to Brody.
But they were saying that they were going up for their first match next week.
No. Brody and Eddie fought at Collision. So.
All right.
Yeah.
And then Danielson.
Apparently it was super good. And so you probably, if nothing else, you should go back and watch that one match. I haven't yet, but I probably will. It's the main event. So.
And then we've got Danielson cutting. He's at the desk and he cuts a promo like at the desk off the cuff after Eddie Kingston had his thing. And he was so good. I was like, God damn it, dude.
I mean, yeah, like, nope. There's nobody better on the mic than Eddie. That thing about Eddie doesn't know it's a work kind of, you know, like he just radiates this honesty, you know, and he feels down having lost, and he's doing this whole humble thing, like humble in victory, humble in defeat, you know, and he's like, I'm gonna claw my way back up kind of feel to it. Then in swoops Danielson, I'm not coming in humble, I'm on fire, I'm gonna murder you all. It's such a great contrast. Like, that is a well-produced segment. Just like going one going into each other, and they're both fantastic. And I mean, is this is this the final? Is it Eddie versus Danielson?
It's next week, but I don't know what you mean by the final.
I mean, they're in the same bracket. Never mind. No, that's not the final one. I'm trying. I wanted to figure out who we should make our picks for who makes it to the final of this Continental Classic.
I couldn't even begin.
But
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, but we have to know.
My thought is they will want to have Eddie because his belts are on the line. But, like, maybe not. I mean, maybe they're just that callous that they're like, hey, put all your belts up so you can lose them all immediately. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean,
what to expect from Tony anymore.
Everybody in here is a Stone Cold killer. There's nobody that I don't want to see wrestle in a match. And so that's fantastic. You got Brody King, Claudio Castagnoli, Andrade, Danielson, Daniel Garcia, and Eddie Kingston in the Blue League. And you got Mox, Swerve, Jay White, Roosh, Lethal, and Mark Briscoe in the Gold League. You got to feel like with three BCC guys in there that one of them's got to make it to the final.
Yeah.
Like, Kingston seems like the strongest story. I'm putting all this on the line. I love, you know, this sort of thing, this Japanese strong style tournament stuff so much. And also, you know, you give me the story of the underdog making it to the top, and I'm gonna sell the shit out of it. But like, also like, Swerve is in there, and he is on fire now, and you gotta like push him, you know, as hard and fast as you can.
Absolutely.
So like, you know, like, he's got to be in there. Mox is perennially in there. So, you know, it would make total sense for him to be there.
Yeah.
I love Brody and I love Daniel Garcia. I don't think they're going to win, but like, any combination, you can have people like have the most points or the fewest points and shoot off angles from that. I'm so sad that I'm bad at this, or I'm so great, even though I didn't win the thing, I still did real well. And then you got the people in the middle, you know, there's all this, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be Eddie and Mox at for the finals.
That would be very interesting.
And I don't know who wins
old
that.
School AEW.
Well, I mean, Eddie wasn't there from the get-go. Neither was Mox.
But old school AEW, when I say that, this company's only like, what, 3 years old? Maybe it's four?
Four, yeah.
I'm talking about like that first or second year when it was the pandemic and they're doing those promos facing, not even looking at each other, facing out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are badass moments.
Ugh. I continue to be excited about this. I think it'll hold. I think I will continue to be excited all the way through.
Yeah. So I thumbs up the promos.
Same. So good.
Then we got Shivani talking to Sting and Ric Flair. And they're talking about where Sting's last match will be. I forgot to write it down, so now I don't remember. But
Greensboro, North Carolina.
There it is. Ric Flair was allowed time to cut a promo, and I was like, it's like Cindy Brady when she was noticing the red light on the camera meant it was on, and she totally biffed that whatever thing it was. It's such an obscure reference, but whatever. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. So
I believe what you mean is Jimmy James on camera on news radio.
He just went off the rails and was clearly not totally listening to what Sting had said, or just was like so thrown that what he had planned to say was exactly what Sting ended up saying. And so then he was like trying to make it fresh, but I don't really know what was going on with this guy. But it was funny to watch, and it was fun, and you know, he put a lot of energy into it. But then Sting's like, it's 80s all over again. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, that's what it was. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he did exactly what he had intended to do. Okay. Is like cut kind of an old school Flair promo, and Flair is 74, so you know, he doesn't have it all there. Mm-hmm. And you know, just the promo was like what it was.
Yeah.
And for the people who are, you know,
it's like when my dad's pissed about something and he's yelling. And then, like, slowly it gets less and less about the thing he's pissed about. More and more about this other shit. Like this podcast.
Wow. Yeah. So what you're saying is this is a genetic legacy for you.
Angry Dad podcast? Yes.
Yeah. The Angry Absolutely. Dad podcast. this is for the people who, like, you know, were watching in Greensboro in 1985. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough to have watched it, but I wasn't watching NWA, WCW back at that time. So like it doesn't hit as hard for me. Like I appreciate that what it's there for, but it doesn't really work for me. And it is just, it's kind of weird because like Stan Lee, it was like, I forget how old he was when he died. I think he was in his 90s. Mm-hmm. But like practically to the day of his death, if you came up to him like, oh, Stan Lee, dude, you created Spider-Man. Can you sign my comic book or whatever? Boom. You would get Stan Lee. Hey there, superhero. I'd love to. And Stan Lee, responsibility, you know, all that jazz. Like you would get the super huge image of Stan Lee. Mm-hmm. But like as soon as you turn around, he would turn into just like an empty shell of an old man because he's 90 something. But anytime you turn the light on, he just becomes that again until he just kind of wore out. And I feel like Flair's kind of that way. Like you can still turn it on and still you'll get that ghostly image of Ric Flair from 1985. But like, man,
you're saying this is like a double exposed photo and we're getting the faint double part.
Yeah, I could, that'll work.
I put a metaphor on top of your metaphor.
No, it's a what this needs is just a shit ton of metaphors, just levels upon levels, because it's all ridiculous. And
it's hats all the way down.
It's hats all the way down. I get what this is. I don't want any part of it. Thumbs down.
Oh, I middled it.
You mean, okay. No, that's respectable. And even if you thumbed it up, I would be like, that's fine.
Yeah. That is
completely fine, but just like,
it's funny, man. All right. We've got Mark Briscoe versus Roosh.
Yeah.
Man, Roosh is such a badass.
There's another guy, like Swerve. He's like, he's still doing his Healy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you're just like, I can't help but
give me more love of this motherfucker. I know. Yeah. It's just too much. It's too much. Mark Briscoe, one of my favorite bits was at one point when they were on the mat, the gum fell out of his mouth, and he just like with his mouth picks it back up. And the announcers like lost their shit because they were like, I guess grossed out, but whatever.
That's his thing.
He knows,
man.
What we know, which is like, when you're wrestling and all this, it's y'all are sharing all the germs, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But anyways, I thought this was a good match.
Yeah.
I do like to see Mark Briscoe still performing. I think he's got a neat character.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Roosh is like unfucking believable. And Roosh wins. Thumbs up.
Yep. Same. Like, no notes. This is exactly what I want out of this thing, and that's what I'm getting.
Then we have Timeless Toni Storm with, I wrote down Maya, but is it Mariah?
It's Mariah May. Yeah.
Okay. Toni said she had a touch of gout. I was like, now that is definitely an old ass reference, because who the fuck gets gout anymore?
Well, I mean, plenty of people. Gout continues to be a thing, but it is associated with old people, so.
And old things. Yeah. Because of, I don't know. I mean, isn't it like high fat?
I believe it's like a high salt.
High salt, diet. High fat.
But thank goodness that we don't have any more high fat or high salt foods anymore.
Well, obviously we do, but I mean, I don't know. I associate it with like full fat milk, full fat cheese and eggs at every meal.
Yeah. Yeah. And
a slab of beef with fat in it.
Also the announce desk, they ate it up.
Oh yeah.
It just made him dissolve into giggles, the gout bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. I'm curious what's going to continue, how this is going to continue, what's going to be happening. But I gave this segment a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Same. You read that thing that Calder sent us.
Yes.
Calder, even from beyond the grave, is giving us helpful wrestling stuff Toni Khan was saying it was basically he worked on this whole idea with Toni. And he was like, oh, I got this idea for like a starlet. And then she took it and ran with it. And so it's, you know, kind of a co-creation, which is fantastic. I love that. That is exactly how things should proceed. And I love that it's working. I kind of worry that it's going to run out.
Yeah.
This was still thumbs up for me.
I'm already losing my, I don't have patience for it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It is so much straight comedy as opposed to, you know, like a sort of half and half kind of entertaining thing, entertaining wrestling thing, that it kind of crosses over into what, you know, like Yumi and Calder, like, no, intimately no. And so, like, we're going to be harsher on it, I think, you know, because, like, oh, no, that's a choice you could have made, but maybe you should have, you know, heightened that beat a little bit more, you know.
Right.
That's sort of my feeling about it. It's like when I'm watching it, it's like when I'm watching SNL and I'm just sort of like deconstructing it the whole time. And,
sure.
You know, like, you gotta be real funny to make me laugh. Otherwise,
I just want it to progress faster, I guess. Yeah. Is my thing.
Well,
it's
but
like,
then
I'm already over the "I just met you, Tony" type of
right.
thing that's happening right now. It's like I want it to already be the thing. Let's already get to the thing that it's supposed to be. And that's probably just a fault of mine as a person, not necessarily a fault of the show or a fault of the writing. I just, I don't like futzing around.
There's a constant tension in wrestling where, you know, you want to get to the meat of the story, but also you're telling a story. And, yeah. you know, so you got to like sort of hold it back. And then also, you know, like you could tell the story in 2 weeks or, you know, you could tell the story in 8 months. Hmm. And if you do the story in 2 weeks, what do you do for week three? So, yeah I get it and I feel it. And I'm as we go, I'm just going to be like, yes, I like this now.
Right.
No, I have stopped liking it now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm back on board. And however it goes, you know, like, I think they're doing it correctly, okay. whether I like it or not.
All right. So now we have MJF in the ring.
In the ring.
Cutting a promo with a cane. Not a candy cane, mind you. Cane. Because he dislocated his hip because he landed on the fucking floor. Which we all saw, and when we were there in LA and the table fell apart, I was like, don't do it. Don't fucking do this. And he got up on that fucking rope and did it anyway. And I'm surprised it was just a dislocated hip. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's other things, but like the things we know of are the dislocated hip. His shoulders fucked up. There was something else. His knee, something with his knee. Apparently, he was in excruciating pain during the scrum.
No.
Just sad, horrible. Don't do that, buddy. and all for us, we were fine with you skipping it. It's okay.
What? For me? All for me? Little old me.
Like, I would fire whoever put that table together, though. Like, fuck. Anyway. So then, MJF in the ring talking about Samoa Joe and the match on December 30th. And holy shit, does he get Samoa Joe over, even though he's already enormously over.
Yeah.
But it's just so fucking great. And then was like, he did this great fucking amazing goddamn promo, and he's like, not then he's selling himself hardcore. And then the lights go out, and I was like, uh-oh, strobe lights, not good. Then the people associated with the person in the mask show up, and they all have these t-shirts on with masks on the back of them. And Joe shows up and chases them all away. Then we see on the screen in like typewriter type, will you face the unknown in a tag match? Basically asking MJF and Samoa Joe to tag team next week against supposedly the person in the mask and someone
100%
else.
100% not. Like,
who knows?
Two goons of the devil. Something
sure.
along those lines.
Yeah, that probably will be what happens. But MJF was so mad he agreed. Samoa Joe did not want to agree.
Why
and Samoa Joe is like, hey man, I want you to be healed for your match in December. I also would like MJF to be healed. So this very much disturbs me as well. But whatever. This whole segment was very, very good. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I can't tell moments after I'm saying like, hey, let the thing run its course. It'll be fine. Now I'm like, get to the point.
Yeah.
I'm done with like waiting around for this. It's no longer the sort of like, oh, delicious anticipation waiting to find out who's behind the mask.
If it's a giant furry spider, I'm going to be pissed.
If it's Rowan's giant furry spider.
Like, you had me. You really had me hooked on this. And now.
MJF calls out that, you know, like, I'm tired of this Scooby-Doo bullshit, which is good that he calls it out. Yeah. But also, it is Scooby-Doo bullshit, and it's not really entertaining me. Like, the occasional just flash of the devil mask, you know, and then, like, the cutting in, you know.
It's interesting.
Air quotes cutting in. That's okay. I don't mind it. And since, obviously, we have other storylines going on, you know, like, yeah, cool, let's put that in the background. But now that it's sort of at the forefront, and it's kind of getting in the way of the Joe thing. And, you know, of course it could turn out that like the whole thing was MJF the whole time. And he was like manipulating it so that, you know, he could get in with Joe and find a way to stab in the back kind of thing. Or it could be Samoa Joe and he's the one who's like trying to make a thing. I'm sort of interested in the idea of Joe and MJF being like unlikely partners with the respect for each other, but also, you know,
I mean, that's what happened with Adam and MJF. Right.
Yeah.
You know, although that turned into the most glorious thing that ever existed. It should never, ever, ever be fucked with.
Yes. But also should not be repeated.
Right.
I don't want to see that same story again here with Joe. So like, I'm real torn. And again, I'm going to base it on how I feel about it at this time. And, you know, a month from now, I'll be like, oh, what a dummy I was because I didn't see it. But this isn't as entertaining to me now. And so I middled it.
There we go.
I feel like I have to, I'm defending my middle way more than I probably need to.
Look, but we have to, it's okay. This is what this is for. Explaining our thought process. If it was merely a score-taking podcast, then, you know, it would be way shorter than it is.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
All right, we got Wardlow versus A.R. Fox. I was glad to see...
Oh, go ahead. When they came back from break, Shivani started talking about how, like, AEW IT security was getting involved and, like...
don't have to belabor it, Tony. It's a fucking dumbass show that we watch this happen all the time on.
Yeah.
This happens all the time.
This borders on goofy wrestling, and you don't explain goofy wrestling. You just let it be what it is.
Yeah.
Trying to establish some form of reality around who is able to, you know, like, we don't need it. Even if it does turn out to be some sort of inside job and it was Tony Khan the whole time, like, I don't, man,
if it was Tony Khan, how hilarious would that be?
No.
Even crazier though. What if it's Phil?
What if it's,
it's what not, if? But what if, right? that would really throw us through a loop.
Look,
we would all lose our collective. If the whole bit of firing him, Tony Khan apologizing to the fans. If all of that was a work, then I would concede that Tony is the greatest of all time. That would have to be. But obviously that's not what happened. But
you know what? I'm not going to say obviously. Could be. We're going to put it on the table. Might happen. We'll see.
Who knows? So, okay, we got Wardlow versus A.R. Fox. Oh, come here, Ramona. Did you want to come over here? Oh, you look sleepy. She's like, yeah, I got to get up on this lap. She's so funny.
Get up on it.
Get up on it. Wardlow versus AR Fox. I was happy to see AR Fox. He's always good, and he can do something fun with Wardlow that not a lot of people can do.
He is a great choice to sort of like break up this whole run of squashes.
Yes,
like
please.
He's getting in some offense and, you know, like flipping around and being really entertaining. And
it didn't change the outcome.
It did not.
And that's something that I don't like either, is when someone, like, it's like, there are some people like Kenny where I'm like, you're going to win. He's always going to win, right? The back of my mind says that. My heart doesn't always say that because I worry, because he doesn't always win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But with Wardlow, like, it's not even fun anymore to even question, is he going to win? I don't know. It's like you don't even get that excitement. It's just like, oh, okay. And it, you don't think it because he's such a badass. You think it because it's just they don't let him lose.
Yeah.
And I don't totally get that, but whatever.
I mean, I think it's just there are people there who like to see him win that way, and every time he does it, they're like, hooray, this is what I paid for, this is what my ticket is for. So okay. Like yeah again, I like sort of understand it. Doesn't work for me at all, but yeah. I don't know, I guess I'm a little bit more down on it than that.
I middled it. It's better than a down.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I mean, AR Fox is pretty good.
Here's the thing. Huh. I'm going to up it because I really do like AR Fox.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, the segment was like worth watching.
There you go. All right. We've got the Hardee's, not the burger joint.
But what if it were?
I did spell it with two E's on my notes.
You know what? That's just for you.
I don't know why I did that.
That's for you. Yep.
But Hardee's with Brother Zay and dun, 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 Top Flight.
What?
Dante's ready.
Back.
Dante's back.
With Dante.
Boop, boop. Dante's back. And he's showing you just how back. Dante's back. All right.
Dante's back. Back again. Dante's back. Tell a friend. Dante's back. Dante's back. Dante's. All right. Enough anyway, of this nonsense.
No, more. So we've got an incredible match.
Yes.
I liked it a lot.
Both these teams are super fun and great to see them together.
I do like seeing the Hardys and Top Flight because I feel like the Hardys are probably like really big mentors.
Yeah. I mean, certainly they were icons and like probably the reason why those brothers got into wrestling.
Yeah. Brother teams.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I also like seeing Matt Sydal is up against or with these guys, which happens sometimes. Because again, someone who coaches them, it's just neat to see, but I thought this was a great match. I don't really know what else to say, except it's just so good to see Top Flight back together.
Indeed it is. My only note for this match was there was a point where there was a cover. Matt comes in to break up the pin. Oh. The way he breaks up the pin is to gently shove him on the butt. That's it. He just kind of gets his foot up there and just kind of like shove. I know it's
must
just like
it
a
be
bed.
More forceful?
Yes. Yes. You should have a physical motion that makes you think, ah, he has unhorsed him from the man that he's on top of. Instead of just like, is he wiping off gum? Why
Maybe.
Did that happen?
I mean, apparently there's gum flying out all over the
there's
place.
Gum everywhere. You don't
so
know.
So many
you
of
know.
These guys chew gum. While they're doing matches. No one's afraid of choking.
You, I guess.
Wardlow.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. Ray Stakanis, co-host of multiple podcasts that I am on, used to be a professional wrestler. And we brought that up to him at one point, and he said the reason why is because you can't wear a mouth guard. Every once in a while, someone does, like Claudio does. You know,
Penta does sometimes.
Penta sometimes. But in general, people don't. So you have that piece of gum in your mouth, and when you get smacked real hard, that kind of helps cushion the blow, because otherwise then your teeth are rattling.
Yeah.
So a lot of wrestlers do have gum in their mouths for that reason. Plus, every once in a while, you get hit real hard, you pop it out of your mouth, and someone goes like, looks oh, like God, they lost a tooth.
Yeah. That's me every time.
Yep.
Me every time. So
now you know.
I mean, how big of a piece of gum? Because to protect your teeth, holy shit.
It's a whole pouch. It's a pouch of big league chew.
Thank you.
You're in the big leagues when you make a perfect slide. You're in the big leagues.
Big league chew was so much fucking fun.
Big leagues when you're in the big league chew. Do they still make that?
I mean, I would be horrified if they didn't. I think every child, nobody ever, it absolutely is not something that leads to someone suddenly using dip. You know what I mean? You're not going to suddenly use chewing tobacco, as disgusting, as fucking gross as it is.
But we did get rid of candy cigarettes.
Grape bubble gum. You don't start with delicious grape bubble gum and then graduate to this disgusting, nasty shit you keep in your goddamn lip and spit every fucking 20 seconds.
Have we asked, have we surveyed everyone who does dip and asked them if they did big league chew as a child?
Yeah.
Because I bet you those numbers are probably kind of uncomfortable.
I don't know, man. All same as like candy cigarettes. Does candy cigarettes lead to real cigarettes? Both things. I had both things as a kid, candy cigarettes and big league chew. I didn't touch a single tobacco product in my life.
You didn't smoke?
Ever, no.
Wow.
I will say, though, it does help that my dad was a pulmonologist, and I was exposed to seeing extremely sick people. What?
Is a pulmonologist somebody who studies the city of Pullman, Washington?
Sure.
Okay. That's all.
The college, Pullman College. Mm-hmm. So I did see a lot of sick people and was exposed to the horrors of smoking very young, but that probably had a lot to do with that too, because it was really hard to escape smoking in the 90s. I will admit that.
Indeed.
Like everybody fucking smoked. Every single person I've ever known, particularly in the people I knew in the 90s, every single person smoked. I was the only person that never did.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I stopped.
A friend that didn't. And then because our mutual friend said there's nothing better in the world than a cigarette and a Diet Coke, he started smoking so he could have a cigarette and a Diet Coke. This is how the 90s were. I was like, okay.
Good times. Let me just do that then. Good times.
Anyway. So, yeah, I gave this match a thumbs up.
As did I.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I have to go back and check. Like, wait, what match were we talking about?
Yeah, right? We went off topic. Not hot topic, off topic. That would be my store. Renee, she's talking to Top Flight. Top Flight with Action Andretti, sorry. Penta walks in and fist bumps Dante Martin. Remember,
Wait.
Let's take a step back. Penta is the one that broke his foot off of his body. His leg off of his body. So, you know, we all saw it. We all rewatched it in absolute horror. So it is a nice, like, healing moment to see the two of them, like, fist bump, because it's like, okay, cool, like, you're not mad, because I was worried. And then for Penta to be like, 1, 2, 3 to those guys, and then he whistles his guys over, and then he says, 1, 2, and points to himself, 3. Cero. Miedo. Awesome. The best fucking challenge that's been set so far this year. We've got Top Flight, Action Andretti with Commander, Vikingo, and Penta. Let's do it. Fucking A.
I mean, you want to get me excited? This is how you get me excited.
Also, you don't even have to say, I challenge you. You're just like, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Let's fucking do this, motherfucker.
100%.
See, this is the kind of shit. It's like, you can have Moxley on every week, or you can do stuff like this. Let's do stuff like this.
We can do both. We can have both.
Lots of this.
We can have all of
them. I don't know. There's a lot more versions of this that probably exist in AEW that we're not seeing.
No, that's true.
Anyway, the next match. Oh, wait. I thumbs up this promo.
Same.
Okay. Yep. Julia Hart versus Emi Sakura. This is fucking awesome.
Yep.
So Julia Hart is introducing the house rules again. Which I love, again, that we can have these things in women's matches as well. Let's do a lot of stuff like this. Like, anyways, so Emi Sakura, her rule that she's introducing is no victory via submission.
Smart.
Yes. There were so many good moments in this match. I loved it when Emi was like, when Julia was straight up and down, upside down, and Emi was basically like turning around so that the whole audience could see her like that. But that was fun. I love Emi in so many different ways.
She's so good.
She's so fucking good. And when Julia did her moonsault, the announce desk was like, I think she was trying to roll away. And I was like, no, bitch. She was saving Julia Hart's ass.
Yep.
She was rolling into it because it would have been a gigantic whiff.
Yep.
So I was like, this is the professional. You know what I mean? Like, this is the shit. She's the shit.
Also, quickly, let's give it up because I also noticed at another point during the show when these announcers turn shit into gold. You know, like someone screws up and they're like, oh, he didn't quite get it, you know, and that's why he managed to kick out. Like, they create an atmosphere where you can
suspend disbelief,
you buy into it as part of an athletic contest.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, well done, Shivani, for being like, she's trying to roll away. Because we all saw what fucking happened. Especially in that replay. No. Maybe it wasn't replay. I think I replayed it because I was like, was she rolling away? It didn't look like she was rolling away. And then I went back and I was like, she absolutely was not rolling away. So that was pretty great. But yeah, I just loved this match. Julia wins. So, you know, whatever that happened. Of course, she's got the belt, so she's going to be winning for a while. But God damn it, I love Emi Sakura. And I would fucking live for an Emi Sakura reign at some point.
Yeah. I don't think that's her role. But like, it would be great if she were part of a tag team. If we finally get a, you know, women's tag team.
God damn it. Championship,
something like that. She's just so fun to watch, and like her laugh cutting through the Julia chants, crowd chanting Julia, and she's like, ha, 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 and you can hear it. I'm like, it's beautiful.
And I was thinking though, when that happened though, I was also wondering, cause like Sakura and Julia can sound similar. It was obviously Julia, but like, I don't know if she couldn't, I don't know how well sound what you can hear from the ring. Like if it's all kind of warbled, I'm not sure. Like maybe it sounded like Sakura.
I don't think so.
Okay. Anyways, and who knows? Maybe we didn't hear it right. Maybe it's Julia Sakura. Julia Sakura. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay. Anyway, just me being hopeful. I give this a thumbs up.
Yep. Big thumbs up. Love it.
Okay, so we've got RJ City with Mariah May. I don't like the flirting. I don't understand what's happening. I do not understand what the fuck is happening here. It's really annoying. She says RJ is a great curator of people. Which fuck does that mean?
It says to me that they're pushing him in the direction of being a manager, some sort of valet.
Oh, her manager, for maybe? Her.
But also, that doesn't make a lot of sense. No. And yes, the flirting is kind of weird.
It's off-putting.
It doesn't quite make sense. No. Because, like, sure, he's doing that to Tony Khan. Right. Oh, look at her. She's flirting to try and get ahead in the business or whatever. Or she's flirting with John Moxley. You're like, oh, it was this guy who's real high up on the card. So she's, you know, like flirting to get ahead. Flirting with a person, just some guy, because he's sexy. Oh, okay, you know, we're kind of like Ruby and Kool-Aid Ange. You know, like, oh yeah, there's some sort of relationship forming. But this thing here, where either she thinks that he can get her something, which he can't, in which case she's dumb and he's weird, or like, clarify it, please. Why is this, like, happening? Because it makes them both look bad.
Yeah. Are we supposed to transfer, like, what she's – sorry, one second. Are we supposed to transfer what she's doing to RJ to what could potentially be happening behind Tony Khan's door? Because she goes into – Tony Khan's office. Are we supposed to assume she's flirting with him? But also, wrestling is not a thing you can flirt your way to the top.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that ever being successful in any capacity, because the fans decide who they like, right? And if you got it, you got it. If you don't, they'll let you fucking know. Whether you get featured a lot, maybe, because obviously, the fans need to see you to get to know you in order to like you. Tony Khan, that's all the women that you've ever showcased on your show. Not enough time for anybody. Anyways, it's just weird. This thing was weird. I didn't like it. I don't understand it. It's a down.
It
makes no sense.
Yeah. I put middle.
Okay.
At the time, I feel like I do like both of these people. And so, you know, like, okay, we're kind of progressing the story. It's not that bad. Looking back on it, I do not like it. It got worse over time in my head. But I'm respecting the me that I was a couple hours ago and keeping the middle.
Because, I mean, on my end, I don't really like RJ City that much.
Yeah. He's grown on me. He's just got something.
I mean,
not necessarily great, but it is unique.
I don't mind him. But I'm like, if I needed to like him to like the segment, that was not. Unfortunately, yeah. I was starting at zero at that, but anyways, fair. Those are just my feelings.
That's what this show is all about.
Yeah,
just your feelings.
Exactly. Well, lucky for all of us, we move into one of the best segments from the, in my opinion, the worst segment.
Ooh. Oh boy,
Christian Cage. Ho ho ho! Christian Cage comes out. He calls out Adam Copeland. Adam Copeland eventually comes out. And he's – Christian Cage says, I'm sorry. And I was like, wait, what? he's saying, like – he keeps slipping up. He made a slip up calling Killswitch Luchasaurus. Which I'm like, yeah, I'm not even in, like, none of us are into Killswitch, right? Not even you. Like, it's the man is Luchasaurus.
Yeah, through and through. I get, I think I get why they're doing it, but also the fact that Swerve used to go by Kill Shot and still has a maneuver called a Kill Shot, just to me means that Kill Switch is real confusing because it doesn't.
Like, I mean, it's never stopped them before.
Yeah,
but Maple Jets, Golden.
I mean, that's Chris Jericho.
Assholes.
That's Chris Jericho saying, "I want to do a thing," and you just say yes because it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess we're doing that because
if there was a team called the Golden Assholes, then I'd be into the Golden again. I was like, now you're allowed. You're not allowed to use Golden any fucking more unless it's Golden Assholes.
Fair enough. Make it rule.
You have to have angels come out with you with little halos. And it's like, we can all imagine those as golden assholes on their heads. Anyway.
I do wish that they had added the children's choir to Christian's regular entrance music. Like, they don't need to come out with them. Just add it to the audio. So great.
That was really good. Oh, man. What a great pay-per-view. Anyway. We've got all this stuff. Christian Cage goes on this long, long thing about, you know, your mom wanted us to wrestle again together and blah, 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 this, that, the other. You know, let's do it. Let's do it for her.
Rename the car. My dad was your dad.
Doodly-doo. All this stuff. I mean, he goes into it. I mean, these are things that Adam Copeland had already brought up, right? I mean, not maybe the specific things, but like, this was what he said to Christian weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. And what did Christian Cage say? Oh, the same thing that Adam Copeland says. Go fuck yourself. Only this time.
What?
Oh. The person who was bleeping completely fell asleep and then bleeped the crowd roaring.
Like 5 seconds after.
Oh, God, more than that. It was like a whole minute almost. I was like, what? And then like left it as that blurred sound for like way too long to kind of make up for it. I don't know. Like, to hypnotize us all into not remembering what we just heard. No. They're all in the back saying, God damn it. That's a $200,000 fine we got to pay now to the SEC. God damn it. I loved that. I loved all of it. I especially love the fact that they forgot to bleep it. It's the best.
Just a straight up go fuck yourself. My God. I mean, here's like, I love hearing the audience when he mentioned you had a single mom. All of a sudden the crowd was like, oh, whoa. No.
And he's like,
oh, no.
I know. I was like, I'm not suggesting I'm your father. I was like, but you could, though, because that's who you are, man. I really thought he was going to go there, too. But the best part is he knows. He knows that's what people were going to think and say.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's just a fucking good one there.
Yeah. This is like this is similar to when the thing that I have where, like, if there's going to be a match and you know who's going to win, clearly MJF is going to beat the guy they don't even give a chyron to and don't bother to name.
Hey.
You know, we know who's going to win. But I want to see, I want it to be a good match.
Yeah.
I want there to be a reason for it. And I don't mind that I know that, you know, this person's going to win so long as you have a good match. I'm like, this is entertaining. We know that Christian isn't actually, you know, ready to shake hands with him. He's going to try and backstab him. And, but because Christian is so good, you're just there along for the ride. Like, absolutely. Yes. No kidding. You named the car. That's wonderful. Okay.
And
yeah.
And then Adam Copeland turns around, and in that moment, we see Christian Cage try to hit him with his belt.
Yeah.
But Adam Copeland already knew.
Just swings around and kicks him in the nuts.
Kicks him in the nutters. And then says the beautiful phrase, go fuck yourself. The symmetry. It's beautiful in its way.
These people are both destined for every wrestling hall of fame that you could possibly imagine.
For sure.
They're so wonderful. Love it, love it, love it.
You know, and Edge, Adam Copeland, he deserves credit for being able to have a very expressive face without showing what it is he's thinking.
Right.
His eyes being that big, I think, is part of it.
Yeah.
They look expressive without showing that he's thinking good thoughts or bad thoughts or whatever, whatever. Like, it's, yeah. I don't know.
You just want to suspend it for just a little bit and just like, is he going to say okay and then get screwed over by Christian?
Yeah. Which way is this going to go? And it was perfect.
Yeah. They're both so good.
Huge thumbs up.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So here's where all the things I was worried about, I didn't have to worry about. We got Swerve versus Jay White. When Swerve comes out, before he comes out, Nana comes out with his crutch.
Nana crutch.
And gets to dance at the top of the ramp.
One-handed dance.
Because he's not at the ringside, so technically it's okay. Which was, then I was like, well, how come they wouldn't let anybody else come to the deck? Because, you know, like, Bullet Club Gold would have been there, you know?
Sure, sure.
But, or the Bang Bang Gang, whatever the fuck. But damn it, if this wasn't an amazing fucking match. And I mean, it's just so good. And because of the trajectory both of them are on right now, I don't know if we would have seen a Swerve Jay White match.
Nope.
Without having to go like let several storylines like play out first.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so this was another reason why this Continental Classic is cool, because you get to see this kind of shit that it's like a dream that gets realized. So yeah, loved it, loved it, loved it. I need to say I loved it. Also, that Swerve's new shirt with that bloody face, which was so disgusting to watch. Oh, it was so hard to get through that match. I was screaming my head off. It was horrifying.
Have you watched it on TV yet, though?
No, did you?
No. I do want to, though. There are a couple matches there that I really want to see.
Up close.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of them.
I can't imagine seeing the whole thing up close. Luckily, because we're at the stadium, like, we only saw portions of it on the screen. They ended up leaving the screens on the whole time, but for a while they weren't on because they wanted us to see how disgusting this was. But there are a lot of matches that, you know, probably had some gross shit that we didn't see because they didn't turn the screens on.
Yeah.
So we couldn't see it up close, but damn, I can't imagine just watching it on TV and then like they're in their face the whole time. There's blood everywhere. Yeah. It's like a sacrifice to the gods.
Indeed.
Anyways, I loved this match.
It's fantastic.
It was really good. And I really didn't know who they were going to have win. Because they're pushing pretty hard, both of these guys.
Yeah.
But Swerve won this one. So that was fucking cool. Jay White looked shocked. I mean, we were all very impressed with how and this ended.
I love that win or lose, everybody comes out of this looking great. Because there's no, you know... There's no match where like, ugh, that was whatever, I guess. Everyone in there is just so good. And
this
like,
was if either of them won, it was a good win. You know what I mean? There's some back and forth at the end, which was like, so it was kind of a surprise win. But it was also just like, even if Jay White won, it would not have made this match for Swerve any less good, you know what I mean? Like, it was just so good. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm saying the same thing you're saying, only with much more confusing words.
this is not about words. This is about feelings. And God damn it, yeah. It felt good.
Don't come easy to me. Dun, 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 dun,
I would join in, but I don't know that song.
See, this is where Calder and I and our band would really nail it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a song called Words. It's an old song. And for some reason, I really, really like it.
Hmm. All right, then.
Boops, boops.
I assume this was a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up.
This is an 85% show.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, here's the thing. There's only two of us, so right? Things can skew harder. We don't have Calder being the balance of this. So mm-hmm. I think some stuff got a little meaner, and some stuff I think we enjoyed a little bit more. So
I thought that maybe it would have gone worse because I thumbs down something.
I mean, so did I.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, here's the thing. This is a great show. And if nothing else, you can be guaranteed that you're going to get at least three good matches a night because, you know, or yeah. Yeah, at least through this Continental Classic, any of those are going to be worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, great. Agreed. Plus other stuff like the whole, obviously, if Edge and Christian are in the ring, you're going to watch that because it's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like plenty of other stuff. Yeah. Go watch.
Yes.
And sadly, even though Calder's gone, we didn't get under an hour, but what are you going to do?
Well, yeah. Oh, well.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Bye.
Bye. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-ding-ding.